There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
Hello and welcome to the HBO Boys podcast. Today we're talking about Severance, Season 2, Episode 3, entitled, Who is Alive? A pertinent question for just like the general, everybody. Are you alive? Adam?
Hey.
Who's alive?
I think we're all a construct of the mental persona of the human brain.
Oh, assimilation?
Yeah, why not?
A severed simulation?
A severed simulation.
Well, in this case, I think Miss Casey is the one who might be alive.
Yeah, I think she's alive. And we get that at the end, which we'll talk about.
Oh, a teaser.
A teaser for this pod in this episode, had you have not watched it yet.
That'd be crazy that you're listening to this if that's the case. But yeah, I like it nonetheless. Okay, so, hey, by the way, just off the top, you know, Severance, still the best show on the TV.
Yeah, this episode really is solidifying that more and more.
Yeah, although I will say, you know, we're getting some, like, mid-show kind of vibes. Like, a thing happens at the end that I was thinking, like, oh, that doesn't feel like it should happen before, like, the exact middle of the show.
Sure.
We know we're getting season 3. It's already greenlit and confirmed, but we don't know if we're getting anything past that. And more, it is sort of feeling like this is going to be a 3-season show.
Sure. And I'd be fine with it if they maintain this vigor.
Yeah, it's disappointing, obviously, because it's the best thing. But it's also, like, you know, if they go out on top, which it seems as though they're going to continue to make bangers, then fine.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. If the 3 seasons is up and it's a perfect story arc, I'm very chill.
3 seasons and a movie and maybe another show.
A spinoff show about Lumen and his creation and how Kier became God.
I would totally 100% watch that show.
Yeah. I would watch that, yeah.
Because he seems like a complete racist dickbag.
Or like another branch of Lumen. What did they do? Maybe it's not Severance. Maybe it's Acceptance or something.
Oh,
who knows?
That'd be... What is Acceptance?
You know, it's when you are sci-fi induced, forcefully told to accept everything that happens regardless of what happens.
That's called slavery, which is what Severance is. Kind of.
So Lumen's just bad.
Yeah, I think that's pretty established.
Pretty established.
Okay, let's get into the episode because a lot of stuff happened.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
At the beginning, Mark is printing posters for Miss Casey to hand out on the severed floor. And he goes to Helly to take the copies, and they're going to take them first to the mysterious goat department that they once stumble upon in
so
the past.
Weird. And there we got Captain Phasma.
Yeah, exactly. I know. we got a lot of weird stuff. So they walk into a room. A guy is feeding a goat milk, and then he's yelling. And then they go into a cubby hole, long, weird cubby. Who made this building?
It's a goat door, dude. It's a tiny. It's a tiny severed hallway.
And severed goat door.
It was honestly the most adorable thing in this whole show. Was the tiny severed a goat hallway in the tiny little castle and farmhouse. Yeah. Or not castle, it was a farmhouse.
Let's be specific.
It was a farmhouse.
It was a goat castle.
It was a goat. You know what? Goat Castle.
Mark and Helly then discover a goat pasture overseen by like the mammalian's nurturable department, whatever that
like
means.
That. I don't like that name.
Yeah, no, all these names are overtly terrible.
Yeah.
And that, as you previously mentioned, is led by a woman named Lorne. And all of the goat people are initially pretty hostile.
They're, yeah, it's like you stumbled on my land. It's right. Like if they had guns, they would be pointing them.
Yeah, but they didn't. They only had goats.
They had goats and trowels.
Right, but like after having a conversation with Lorne, where it doesn't really get anywhere, she basically like sounds the horn, and
oh yeah,
the rest of the goat peeps show up and surround them, which seems like it just seems like Helly and Mark are about to get the shit kicked out of them now.
Yeah.
If they started getting the shit kicked out of them, do you think somebody watching would go and save Helly?
You know, I don't know. But, you know, there are parts of the scene where it made me think that some people knew who Helly may be. But I could be just thinking too deeply into that because I'm very invested in it. But I just got a like one of the farmers, they just gave like a vibe. And again, I could be overanalyzing this. That
sure.
There was a look that was like, I know who you are kind of thing. But
I think you might be over.
I'm overanalyzing it.
What if one of the goat people were like, I know.
Yeah, I tended to your garden last week.
Hey, I know, by the way.
You know what's also weird about this scene?
Nah.
The man dressed as an alpha goat.
Right, weird.
It was like very Midsommar. It gave me a little bit of Midsommar.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want him to be burned down in some sort of hut, but I understand, like, from a goat alpha logistics perspective, how it could make sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, again, they were initially hostile, but eventually the mammalians reveal that Miss Casey did her sessions in their husbandry tanks. Can't say that's a word.
That's
and
okay.
They basically say, like, yo, you do you. We're not going to hinder you while you search for Miss Casey. Also, side note, show us your bellies.
Yeah, that was weird, right? I think it's just like these people are so removed from society. Like they're mammals. They're mammals, right? They have pouches, right?
No, this is based on a rumor that was started previously and then has now apparently spread through Lumen's innards.
Oh my gosh.
You know, this is the big news, right? This is the biggest thing that's happened at Mammalian's nurturable department in a very long time. Also, as a side note, I saw a neat theory that the goat-severed folks are addicts or recovering addicts.
Oh, that would make sense.
Because it would have to explain, like, to their outies why they smell like goat when they get out of there.
Oh, my God.
But I think more likely is, like Pete said in season one, there are some innies that never leave. And, yeah, this feels like the goat people feel like never leaves.
Yeah, I need to know what's happening. What's the goat? Is the goat? Maybe the goats are being raised to provide nourishing milk to the people that the microdata refinement crew are refining as their body and conscious gets rebuilt.
There's just this part of me that feels like there's no reason for it.
Yeah, it's just like, there because.
Yeah, it's like. We're having all these people be severed, right? These are ones that their families won't even care if they disappear. So they're just going to. And so we got to have them do something. Kier loved goats.
Well,
so,
you know, I started thinking about what we said, was it last episode or the episode before, about how the whole Lumen building was built on top of the Kier house, the original Kier house. So I'm curious if Kier was just so full of himself that he loved the pasture so much he just wanted to keep it. I wonder if that's like just an original plot of land that now he has billions of dollars and can pay people to just tend his original pasture. That seems like a very Kier thing to do.
Sure. I mean, he's also deceased, or is he?
Or is
he being rebuilt? Or is he actually dead? But yes,
I understand
what you're saying. Right. I understand what you're saying. What you're basically saying is these are ego goats.
Yeah, they're e-goats.
Nice. See, podcasts are worth it.
That's great.
You know,
Yeah,
because of ego.
Especially when you call it out. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's what makes it good. In other news, Irving takes one of the missing posters to O&D, where he runs into Felicia. She tells Irving that his sketch of the dark hallway from his Audi's paintings resembles a place that they at O&D know as the Exports Hall.
Weird.
Where past O&D employees would take the products that they made and then they would put it into the elevator, I guess. But
yeah,
while this is some like, you know, lore, some backstory.
Sure.
What this mainly was, this scene, was Felicia and Irv as a group both lamenting and mourning Innie Burt.
Yes, for
and
sure.
It ended with them both hugging each other, and I said out loud, like, a thing that you would say. I was just like, I think they both needed that. You know,
they really needed that hug.
I think they needed it, and I'm glad they got it.
Yeah, yeah, it was a very sweet, like, you know, very humanistic part of this incredibly sterile world.
Nice.
Yeah.
Egoats. Dylan is in another place. He's being granted a visitation.
Dylan
with
is
his
Dylan.
Audi wife. Yeah, he's being Dylan. He is chilling with Gretchen, his Audi wife, who shows them a picture of his three children and describes Audi Dylan. In fact, she says, my husband has had trouble keeping other jobs, to which Innie Dylan responds, he dumb?
is he a fuck up? I was like, ooh, his self-realization is very real.
Yeah, I think Dylan, out of the all of the Innies in season one, was the probably most underdeveloped, and that's not to say he was like not developed enough to right. be interesting. He absolutely was,
for sure,
but he's also just getting like story upgrades really hard in season two, right? This is a something he's getting because of his merit, or because he came back, or whatever the heck, right? This is kind of like the way that they have found into keeping Dylan is showing his Innie, the outside world, a place that he admires and wants to be a part of, and he also wants to know about his outside life. So like, here's the mountaintop on that, right?
Sure.
This is your wife, baby.
Yeah. And how weird was that when she said, I love you? And he was like, whoa. It's a little fast.
Yeah, right? This is a little Innie baby, and he does not know that it made sense for him to respond like that. But I will also say is, like, the vibe I was getting this scene is that Dylan's Innie is more what his wife wishes his Audi would be.
Oh, yeah.
And in the future, that's probably going to be an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, she's got a crush on the Innie version of Dylan. But I have a theory here, and follow along as I try and fumble through this theory as I try to make sense of it.
I mean, but, you fumbled through that sentence.
Yeah. So and I just finished work, still on work time. Anyway,
okay.
So what if Lumen is presenting this opportunity, let's call it, to Dylan, but it's really Gretchen making the decision whether or not she wants to have Innie Dylan be permanent Dylan. So now Lumen has the control to turn off people and use that as a scare tactic to turn off and now reverse the severance. Does that make sense how I described it?
I also was thinking something to the effect of, like, at the end of this show, everybody is clear, everybody is free, they've taken Lumen down from the inside out, and they're all about to become their Audis 100% all the time forever. And Dylan's like, I'm staying.
Oof.
I like the way I am on the inside. I'm not going to stay inside, but I'm going to go outside as any me. I think he's a better guy.
Yeah. But just like, and I think the idea of leveraging being being taken away now as an Innie from your life that you've started to build permanently at any given time, anywhere you are, is terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, he's in a weird spot. I wouldn't be surprised.
It's a bummer.
And, oh, by the way, as a side note, Gretchen is dressed like Pam from The Office episode where Pam has the art show. And that, I don't know if is...
That's got to be intentional, right?
It has to be intentional, which is very chill.
That is so chill. Oh, boy.
Elsewhere on the severed floor, Natalie brought her signature insane smile with her terrified eyes.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Down to Milkshake's office to present him with race-swapped paintings of Keir while the board listens in, quote-unquote. Like, we don't know that for sure.
Yeah.
But this is supposed to be something for Milkshake to, like, make him feel better, make him feel more involved, make him feel respected.
Yeah, man. How awkward was this?
Pretty awkward. First off, I don't think Milkshake is feeling respected by Lumen in the slightest at the moment.
Not at all.
Like,
yeah.
This is just another drop in the bucket. This is the PC screen not saying his name.
Sure.
And also, I think we'll get there in a second, but, like, Milkshake has some anger issues, right? Like, and with like that swirled into the gumbo of this lack of respect, and how the pictures are the most racist, so racist, dude.
Oh my gosh, yeah, very intense.
In fact, as like the quote unquote board hangs up, there is this moment where Milkshake looks at Natalie and is like, the vibe in his eyes are, you know, this is messed up, right? And the vibe in her eyes is like, I'm a robot.
I'm a robot, or she's paralyzed with fear, because maybe she said that that Lumen did the same thing for her. She got the same thing. Like, weird. Do you think that she is just like under the gun kind of and doing this because she has to?
I mean, no, I think she's just an always innie who's completely brainwashed.
Oh, so you think she's one of the first perma innies?
I don't know if she's one of the first. I just, I don't know. She acts the same way outside as she does inside, you know?
Yeah.
And there are a few of those whom might be perma innies who are allowed to be outside, aka Natalie, maybe Milkshake, maybe Cobell. Like, I think these are, and which we'll get to on the Cobell thing here pretty soon, but like, I don't know. I think it makes sense that there are perma innies, and some of them have graduated to being, you know, let to go anywhere.
Because they can be controlled by Lumen at any given time.
Until they can't be. Natalie stays on in this episode. In another scene, she approaches Rickon to discuss adapting the UUR for innies. So she goes over to Devin and Rickon's to talk about creating a version of his book just for innies. Obviously, Devin's like a normie, like a regular human being, sees through Lumen's attempt to manipulate her dumb husband, who is just like, through sheer ego and complete narcissism and hubris, really, is being driven right into Lumen's hands because it's just sort of part of damage control. But he's not picking up at all on that. And Devin should leave him.
Devin's too good for a lot of what's going on here. She's slowly becoming my favorite character because of how grounded she is.
Me too, by the way, which is so scary.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think Devin makes it out of this show.
That's
I think Devin.
Don't say that.
If she does make it out of this show, I think she gets like forced perma innied and is like ends up being devastating for Mark, perhaps a last straw or something.
Or they use it against him.
Yeah, like at some point, Lumen's gonna, like, this is Lumen being nice-ish, right?
Right.
Like, this is Lumen being methodical and not as intense as I feel as though they can be.
Sure.
At some point, that glass is gonna break, and the things that Lumen is going to do to try to take back control that is slowly but surely slipping out of their fingies, probably going to be messed up.
Oh, yeah. This is their, like, mercy. Like, this is very annoying and bad for our business, but, you know, compared to what we can do.
Right. They're treating this currently like a PR issue.
Yeah, right.
And eventually they're going to be treating it like dictators. I just get the vibe.
Yeah.
We actually enter the show with Cobell like sleeping in her car, driving around, thinking. And she comes back towards the end of the show and agrees to rejoin Lumen on the condition that she's rehired as head of MDR to help Mark finish the Cold Harbor file. And Helena's like, okay, you know what? You make a lot of good points. How about you come inside and we have an impromptu meeting with the board and talk about it.
And she's like, nah, dude.
I think a few things here. One, Cobell picked up what the security guard and what Helena were putting down. And we're like, I think if I go inside, I'm going to be like reset.
Yeah, right.
I think she's a perma innie and she's like allowed to be outside and can be her chip that is be reset. All right. At the like, if that's not the case, then whatever was about to happen when she walked in Lumen to get a job that she knows already was already given to Milkshake. And they're definitely like, it feels as though they're not going to change their minds on that. Plus, Cobell has been like kind of wild and out. And again, like the thing we just talked about, the thing that Lumen values the most is control. And Cobell is showing pretty straightforward that like she's right on that edge of being controlled. So I don't know exactly what was going to happen when she went inside Lumen there, but I don't think it was going to be anything positive.
No, I was going to ask you before you said that, like, was she genuinely frightened in that moment, or did, or was it a sense of like understanding and just decided to remove herself from the situation? Like, was she actually scared of what could have happened, or, you know, the unknown?
I mean, yeah, I think it was a fight or flight response and she chose flight.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not like she sprinted to her car. She just walked away, kind of stumbled a little bit.
Right. And she turned around and went back to the car and the security man did not chase her. I'm just saying, like, one day the security man's going to chase her.
Yeah.
The same time where that glass breaks, the same time where Lumen's like, cool.
All right.
Listen, y'all fucked around. Now you're about to find out. Security guy's chasing you. Y'all are reset. And Devin, she's a wiped mind baby person. Do you guys like that? Do you like that? You made me do this. Like, that's going to be their vibe. Like, I don't think we did. No, you did. You made us do this.
Yeah. So, remind me of the actress that plays Helly. Do you know off the top of your head?
Britt Lower.
Yeah. So she was great in this scene.
Very,
very just, the amount of villainous vibes is just palpable. And something to note here, and you can take this for what it's worth, but this is an Apple TV show. Every single person that has been a villain has been using Android phones. And
gross. That is a thing.
She was using an Android phone.
Describe that thing, though, for the people who don't know.
Well, Apple and Android are at war, I guess.
No, I know. It's like a thing, though, right? Like, in contracts where, like, you know how, like, The Rock can't lose a fight or whatever? Oh. Like, it's in a contract.
Yeah.
You can't have evil people in a show if it's an Apple show using Apple products.
Yeah, right. I actually forgot that until you just said that. That's why I didn't pick it up. I had forgotten. But yeah, it's just, so what's interesting though, and this is, again, probably getting a little too much in the weeds for the normal person, but like, she used an Android phone, but the tapping sounded like it was coming from an iPhone. So I don't know if it means anything, but it's just a funny little thing I noticed.
Listen, I like living down here in the weeds.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty neat.
So Mark is popping off and him and Devin are attempting to like burn an after image into his retina.
This is so stupid.
Communicate to Azini. And Ragabi interrupts Mark.
Yeah.
And is like, hey, that's not going to work. And by the way, reintegration is completely on the table. And like, I'm better at it now. It's the only way to send messages in and out of Lumen, where your innie and your outie become combined. And by the way, also, your wife is definitely alive. And instantly Mark's like, yes,
Yeah, I don't care what it means. Yes.
Do it now. With the context that Petey didn't go very well for Petey.
Yeah, it didn't go well. And just a reminder for those who may have forgotten, like I did, and I had to look it up, Ragabi was a former Lumen surgeon who inputted Mark's plant into his brain, the chip into his brain.
Right. He's, or she's the person who we thought maybe Irv was talking to on the phone.
Yeah.
In an earlier season two episode. That has still not come to light, but would make sense. Either way, yeah. Mark decides to just do this thing, and it happens. It's happening, which is bonkers to begin with, but, and we'll talk about like the repercussions of it happening right now in season two, episode three. But as it's happening, probably some of the coolest 2 or 3 minutes on television, I'm going to say ever. Like, he's flashing in between the present and the orientation room on the severed floor.
Yeah.
He's wearing different clothes. He, like, the screen is being cut into little pieces as he is. It's just, and the, like, the cinematic experience of those last 2 minutes was so dope.
Oh, dude. So I posted this on our threads. That Severance has had an excellent selection of music throughout the whole run so far. They're really nailing it with like the vibe of every song. But to choose this song by The Who was absolutely masterful. It's Eminence Front by The Who. And go read the lyrics when you have a chance. Like, it's just such a great song for this, and it fit the cinematic, like, visual vibe so well. I don't think we'll see something quite as good as that, at least for a while, and until this show does it again.
Yeah, maybe the next episode, who knows. By the way, where can they find us on Threads, Adam?
Oh, you can find us on Threads at the HBO Boys podcast, as well as many other social networks that are very popular in the world today.
Yeah, don't do those now. I just want to put that in the middle. You know. People don't listen to the end, so like, we talk about Threads. That stuff at the
pretty
end.
Pretty active on Threads. Go over there and check me out. It's pretty chill.
So as we like talked about a little bit already, right? The fact that reintegration is happening with Mark early on in season two is just sort of what's making me feel like it just feels like something that was going to happen later if this was a 5 or 6 season show.
Yep.
And the fact that it's happening right now makes it feel as though this is going to be Severance is going to have a shorter stay in our lives than I would particularly like.
Yeah, but if it's done well, I'd be at terms with it. You know, I, as long as it's done well and it makes sense and it's not doing things just because. Yeah, man, I'm here for it.
Yeah. And then like talk about a few theories here, like. Having to do with this episode, you know, we learn about the exports floor and optics and design, probably being told that the items that they're creating are being exported. They're probably just being sent down to the testing floor.
Sure.
And so I don't know. I just hope that Irv gets into that elevator and we see what's happening. Although, I don't know. Is it any Irv, Audi Irv? Does he get reintegrated as well? I don't know.
You know, any world where John Turturro is part of it, I'm okay with.
Yeah. I mean, the acting in this episode, just his little smiles while he's thinking about Bert.
I feel like it's going to be a constant for the few episodes left that we have. Well, not few, actually. We're not even halfway through the season yet, but I'm here to gush about this show, man. Like, it's so good. It's so well done. It's so well written. It's so well executed. And I don't think we're going to see something to this caliber for quite some time.
No. Like, and also, expectations coming into season two, especially for us, was incredibly high.
Yeah.
Anyone who really loved Severance season one, I think, honestly, the expectations were unfairly high. And so far, they're hitting them, if not exceeding unfair expectations. Like, that just does, it's just, let's be really clear, that does not happen. I love the show Yellow Jackets.
Sure. Right? Yeah,
I think
great.
The last season was okay to good. And as opposed to like a great first season, I'm going to continue watching the show. Mm-hmm. I think they did a weird thing at the end that is a little bit ruiny for me. But at the same time, again, I'm going to keep watching it. That's another prestige television show that's currently happening. There are so many prestige television shows that have the narrative. Boy, wasn't that first season good?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And this is not one of them.
Yeah.
This is setting itself up to be like, it's the way I felt watching Succession, which is like, I can't believe this keeps getting better. It's so improbable that it does.
Right.
That it's just, it's so surprising in a very super chill way that I like so much.
Yeah. It's just everything happens that all of the details are so intentional, and it's down to like little nuances that are so intentional, but like we never saw it coming kind of thing. And it's just, it's so wonderfully done. I can't say more positive things about it. I really love this show.
I mean, yeah, like them or Mark getting reintegrated this early, like right now, that is something I did not see coming at all. So not only are they exceeding expectations, but they're also surprising the audience,
right.
Which is incredibly difficult to do.
Now, do you think that we're going to see anything of Mark next episode, or are they going to let that hang? Let us marinate on it and bring him back for episode 5, maybe?
I lean towards the second option there, just because I think we are sort of owed an episode on the vibes of Audi and any-ish Heli.
Sure.
I think we're owed vibes on a disgruntled milkshake.
I would love to have more on a disgruntled milkshake.
Yeah.
Oh god.
That's fun. And I think we're also I think we're going to get something, right? I don't think they'll leave us completely in the dark with Mark's reintegration. I don't think they'll skip an entire episode.
Right.
But I also think it's not going to be like a Mark. Season 2, episode 4 is just going to be like all Mark all the time, just because a few other storylines here really, like, it just feels like they're speeding up, like they're hitting a second or third gear and they're about to get there. Mm. Like, again, I said, milkshake, Heli, and probably Cobell, but even Irving, right? Like, I think we're just scratching the surface of Irving's story in this season, because, you know, we're getting a lot of Dylan, like, and Dylan feels like it's, that storyline feels like it's going faster.
I appreciate that they're kind of speeding that along, because I was like starting to fall off on certain ones. So I think it's good that they're not wrapping things up, but like definitely making things progress a little bit quicker. But I really want to know more about Cobell. Like, why is she so obsessed with this file? Like, because clearly Lumen isn't as obsessed as she is.
No, I think they are. No, they know. I mean, what are you talking? Heli was talking about this earlier. Like, they, I think, are as obsessed, if not more obsessed, with this file getting done, which is why they need Mark to sit in that chair. It's why that he's like allowed to live and allowed to come back. Mm. But at the same time, they're also just trying to manage Cobell in a way that she's like a dog off of a leash.
Right.
And so it doesn't really matter what she's saying. She just needs to get inside and get hard reset so that we can stop dealing with her.
I'd just be curious to know, like, what's her stake in the whole thing? Like, why does she care so much to be the manager of the severed floor? Like, why does she have to have it, you know?
It would make more sense if she was severed.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah.
In a perma-innie.
Yeah, perma-innie. That's all she knows, dude.
Yeah, that's what she knows. By the way, this show does a really good, like, they had a huge guest star in Gwendolyn Christie in this episode.
It was great.
Just sort of fits right in. Doesn't scream like, oh my god, that's Gwendolyn Christie, although you get a little bit of that, obviously. But I just think, like, the lore and the narrative of the show is so deep, and like they're in the deep end of this, like, story vibe pool. And when a new character or a new, like, actually famous person enters the ring, it's like it's not as distracting as it is a lot of the time when that happens in other shows, which again is just, you know, another check on the box for, oh, this is pretty great.
Yeah, I mean, she's already got a pretty extensive resume, so adding one of the best television shows in the past couple of years is, you know, this is pretty standard.
Yeah, I just hope that, like, we, the next time we see her is, like, the goats have escaped, there's a jailbreak, Mark is doing it, Helly is pretending like she's helping, but at the same time is like, somebody come do something about this. But although also, like, probably, which is why I think there's going to be some Helly stuff next episode, because yeah. I think we also need to pick up on the Helly Audi being jealous of any Helly, and like being more and more attracted to Mark, although like how is that going to change now that Mark is reintegrated,
right?
And is she as in any like any ish right gonna pick up on that, because obviously she's not an any, she's an outie, and she's a smart lady. Is she gonna pick up on it, or is she gonna let the I'm jealous, and by the way, this isn't even like a confirmed thing we know, we just think, like,
it's gotta be, man. Did you see how tense that the sexual tension that was in that scene where they were about to kiss, and she wanted it so bad, and Mark's just like, hi. Like, it was so awkward.
That's why I'm saying, like, the next step up for this show, and it's crazy that there are steps that it can take, but the next step up for this show is, like, this needs to become really complicated for Helly really soon, and I think it's going to be.
I want it.
And I think it's going to become really complicated for Milkshake really soon, and I think it's going to be.
Yeah.
Like, it's characters who have an affinity or a cult-like status with Lumen, turning on Lumen. And again, like, we're racing towards this glass break moment where whoever the board is, whoever quote-unquote Lumen is, whatever, like, the army that is Lumen, for them to be like, aye, we done. Cool. Get in the bucket. You're a goat now, actually.
I said. We're gonna maybe all the goats are the rebuilt consciences of people.
And just with that,
you just get rebuilt that, as a goat.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you for joining us here at season 2, episode 3, Severance. We're all goat people. And Adam, tell the fine folks at home where they can find us on the internet. You already covered Threads.
I covered Threads, dude. You know, follow us on Threads, man. It's a pretty cool, chill place. But also, every other social media that you would want to follow someone on, we're probably there. Blue Sky, TikTok, Instagram. Those are the most popular ones anyway. And also, we do have a Patreon, so please visit us on Patreon at patreon.com/HBOBOIZ. For one or more dollars a month, you get these episodes early, ad-free, and you get some Patreon exclusives here and there should we feel up to doing them. But we do also...
what a promise, if we want to.
Really, it's just the joyfulness that you get for supporting creators like us. It sounded like a PBS commercial. Viewers like you. But we'd like to thank our current patrons, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Howdy Dream Cowboys, Chris Wood, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Buffalo Pizzle, C. Fritz, and Cat's Pajamas 10. And thank you, Brent Ginn and Butter Nichols, for being our $5 a month tier patrons. We appreciate that very much. And if you up your tier subscription, I will give you an extra shout out too. So that's pretty cool. But very excited about this show. I'm so excited to see what happens in season four.
Episode three. Okay, just stop saying numbers.
It's
episode's name is Woe's Hollow, whatever that means.
One
of the tempers, though, so that's pretty chill.
Yeah, that makes sense. God, this show is good. I am so excited.
Yeah, the moment it's over, I'm so mad.
I'm just like, when's Friday coming?
Yeah.
And then I don't watch it until Monday, so it's fresh in my head.
Oh, nice. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Have a good week and stuff. Bye.
That's so awkward.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See Home Club for details.